Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of the Land O'Lakers podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky coming to you Sunday night. And it's Andy. It's our first slumpy podcast. Not us. We're fine. But the Lakers, no. They're a little slumpy right now.
No, the Lakers wish they were as good as us, Brian. Let me tell you something. We are what they strive to be.
Well, it's true of most people, I think.
Although, in fairness to the Lakers, if they were missing the equivalent of you and me in their podcast, they'd be suffering too.
I agree. All right, so there's a lot we want to get into tonight. We want to talk about the slump in this episode. We'll talk about the shooting woes. They are part of the slump. We will talk about fatigue, which we believe is also related to the slump. And Andy, it begins. It begins. Everyone's favorite part of the NBA season, trade rumors and buyouts. We have started in on it. Some good names already connected to the Lakers, and we'll do that as we get through the show. But first, we always want to remind you that the Land of Lakers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network is brought to you by betonline.ag. Football, Andy, it's over. But the NBA, college basketball, the NHL in full swing, and the only place you should be betting on all these sports is betonline.ag. BetOnline even covers the awards, the TV shows, the reality TV, all that stuff. And BetOnline has hundreds of prop bets with real-time odds on almost anything you can imagine. And, of course, a 24-hour online casino. So head on to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
And as always, the Land of Lakers podcast brought to you by the folks over at Delicious Pizza in Los Angeles. Two locations, West Adams and Hollywood. 20% off if you use the password Cam Brothers. It is awesome pizza. You will be supporting local business, which is important right now. You will also be supporting the local business of a Laker fan who, quite frankly, could probably use some cheering up right now, the way the team is playing.
And we mentioned the slump.
Yes, nothing would cheer up our guy, Mike Ross, more than you patronizing Delicious Pizza. Again, two locations, West Adams and Hollywood. Use the password Cam Brothers, 20% off.
Quick word on that, Andy. If you are near the West Adams location, they have a really cool happy hour in a gigantic outdoor eating area. So you can eat, grab some pizza. I think it's 50% off during their happy hour. Go sit outside. Plenty of room for everyone to run around. I think we're going to try to take the kids there this week. So again, Delicious Pizza. All right. So Andy, the Lakers have lost two games in a row. And you shouldn't necessarily be surprised because as Magic Johnson put it on his Twitter feed on Sunday, the Lakers really miss Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder because they affect the game on both ends of the court.
There's a reason that guy was the president. There was a reason that guy was the president of basketball operations for the Lakers. It's still a shame that they couldn't manage to make it work long-term.
Nope, two guys who really do, he's correct, affect the game on both ends of the court. Kudos to him, though, for using the proper effect as opposed to effect. That is something that people get wrong all the time. All right, but I will say this, and this is before we get to some of the skill set questions that come with missing Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder, because they are very relevant to the conversation we're about to have. I'm going to say something that I don't know, maybe might be upsetting to Lakers fans. If you take Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder away from the Lakers, they're not that good. I mean, it's like, I'm not saying the Lakers can't win without those guys. And obviously, every time you take the floor with LeBron James, you have a chance to win a game. But Andy, in terms of like analyzing why the Lakers have lost two games in a row, who's the third best player on this team when those two guys are out?
Kuzma.
Kuz? Is it Trez? I mean,
no, it's Kuzma.
Okay, I think it's Kuzma. Fine. So it's one of those two. Would you agree?
Yeah, most likely, sure.
Okay, so if I told you the second best player on any team was Kyle Kuzma or Montrezl Harrell, you'd probably think that team was probably pretty ordinary. So when I look at this, there's just a major talent thing that the Lakers are dealing with when those two guys are gone. Again, that's before you get to the skill set part, which only makes it worse.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same thing that would happen with pretty much every team in the league if you took away their second best player, who happens to be a top five caliber player, like a true all NBA caliber talent like Anthony Davis, and Dennis Schroeder, who was the runner up for sixth man of the year last year. So, I mean, it's not even that they're missing their, second best player and their third, fourth best player. It's, that type of talent that you're talking about, but also what those guys bring
right. In
terms of scoring, in terms of playmaking, in terms of focal points for an offense, in terms of, Dennis Schroeder defensively, the energy and the persistence and at times the annoyance, or you're talking about Anthony Davis, who is, when engaged, among the best defensive players in the league.
Right.
I mean, any team suffering losses of that caliber is likely going to be feeling it and is likely going to have a very difficult time getting past it.
So, yeah, and I agree with you. So, I mean, when they lose to the Nets, I wasn't surprised by that result at all. I thought they put up a really good fight against Miami over the weekend. I mean, that was a really hard fought game. They did not pack it in. They played as hard as they could. They couldn't score. And I think that gets to some of the skill set stuff that we were talking about and some of the things that you mentioned. It's hard enough to play without AD, who is an all-world top five talent in the NBA. He obviously opens up the floor for LeBron. He opens it up for all the shooters around. He creates lanes for Kuzma and all that kind of stuff. When you take him out, you've got enough problems in terms of generating offense. When you take out Schroeder, then you've now eliminated the only other guy really who can genuinely create his own offense in a reliable way. And now, I mean, the closest thing they have to somebody who can put the ball on the floor and get to the hole is THT. And that's not really what you don't want to be relying on Talen Horton Tucker to carry your offense when LeBron on the floor.
They don't have really reliable playmakers at this point. Like you said, THT can do it. And at times he will produce some really slick or smart passes, but that's a lot to be putting on his shoulders right now, especially when he's been going through a pretty pronounced offensive slump. Alex Caruso can do it at times
a little,
but he's not there yet. And he's also in a very different way than THT, not enough of an offensive threat to make a lot of, to make a lot of defensive reactions happen because of him penetrating, because of, him working a screen and roll, something like that. And then, guys like Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, they can create their own shot, but they're not good at creating for anybody else.
Correct.
And they need somebody to put them in the best possible position, even if they're going to create for themselves. So there was a sequence against the Heat where Wes Matthews was actually working out of the post. And for reasons I don't understand, the Heat decided to double him. And he kicked out. And I want to say he either found KCP or Gasol for a three. So it worked out great. But that is not something that you're going to be relying on, the idea of let's work out of the post with Wes Matthews. And that's indicative of just how the Lakers right now are in this place of just trying to find anything
yes.
that will work.
I thought they did a nice job Saturday. They hunted matchups. They attacked Duncan Robinson as much as they could. Yeah. On pick and rolls, and they were constantly trying to force switches and create advantages where they could. But the problem is you only have one guy who can really be. I mean, who else plays in that game? You talked about Kuzma. You talked about Harrell. Harrell is a pretty talented offensive generator, like you say, for himself. And I think what we found is Kuzma's a much better finisher, much better guy who can, you know, cut, move, and make himself available that way, or catch and shoot. And so, you know, you take it away. And I'm not surprised. I mean, we saw against Minnesota what Schroeder's presence means, even if AD is gone, because, you know, he goes 9 of 15 and he scores 24 points. And once you remove that, I don't think Schroeder, they know, is going to miss at least two more games. He's going to miss Monday against Washington. He's going to miss Wednesday against Utah. Now, I mean, from a fan standpoint, analysts, whatever. Like,
I'm a little bit of both, Brian.
Yeah. Don't put me in a box.
No, I am a little bit of both.
You know what you are, Andy? You're a fanalist.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. It is up to the people listening to decide whether or not they value me more as an analyst or as a fan, but either way, I'm both.
But, like, you know, so this takes a lot of the fun out of Wednesday's game against Utah. Like, you know, our standard question that we can now get made fun of nightly for on the late night happy hour is, are the Utah Jazz for real? And I was hoping to find out on Wednesday, and now I'm not going to, because they're going to be without Schroeder and they'll be without Davis. And quite frankly, the Jazz should win that game, given how they're playing. I don't think Washington is a given, with the roster that the Lakers are going to put out. I would pick the Lakers to win. I sort of think they can win, but I don't think it's a given that they win any games with the roster that they're putting out.
No, especially
at least one of them.
Especially against, you know, a team like the Wizards that has Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal is
a little better.
Yeah, but I mean, Beal in and of himself, like, he can go off for 40 or so on in a night. And if that happens, the Lakers may have trouble keeping pace with that 40 and whatever else his teammates put up. Like, yes. Like you, if I were to put money on this, I would bet on the Lakers being able to do this, because I still think they have more talent than the Wizards overall, even with the guys that they're missing. But they are going to be compromised, to say the very least, and being compromised against a team like Washington, you know, or against any team really. But I was going to say, even a team like Washington, being compromised can hurt you.
And so, you know, I think what you're getting at, Andy, here is the crux of it. It's not like defensively, they played a really good game, I thought, defensively against Miami.
Yeah.
They held Brooklyn to 110, 109.
The defense right now is not.
That's not the issue. That's not the problem.
No, they've in a lot of ways, I would say they've actually surprisingly held up well defensively, considering what AD and even Schroeder mean to it.
Sure. Minnesota scored 104 points. Granted, the Timberwolves suck and they fired their coach Sunday night, but still, I mean, they held them to 104 points. And so I would expect that they could play a decent game defensively against Washington, even against Utah, but the problem is they can't score. And the shooting woes, particularly from three-point range, have continued. The Lakers took 45 three-pointers against the Heat on Saturday. That is a season high. They average about 30. They were 1 of 13 from three-point range in the fourth quarter. They are missing a lot of shots. About half basically everybody who takes three-pointers on this team is about 33% and below, certainly for the month of February, and some of them stretching back. KCP looks, you know, like he's way inside his own head. Caruso's percentages have dropped off. LeBron's percentages from three have dropped off. I don't know exactly where the water is that Frank Vogel has said will eventually seek its own level. They were shooting too well at the beginning. Now they're shooting, I think, worse than anybody would anticipate. I don't know where level is, Andy, but they need to find it, and they need to find it reasonably quickly.
I mean, you said before that LeBron has been struggling from three. That's really an issue for them, beyond just the idea that LeBron is the best player on this team and, you know, he's their most talented player at this point by a mile. He also leads this team in three-point attempts. And, you know, there was a period where LeBron was raising the team's overall clip in a way that, and I've said this a few times, I didn't think was sustainable, but also not even necessarily ideal, even if it was, because in a perfect world, you want everybody else spacing the floor for LeBron.
Yes.
Not LeBron spacing the floor for everybody else. And now you're in this place where without Anthony Davis, without Dennis Schroeder, it is critical that LeBron gets some spacing, because otherwise, like we saw against Miami, the entire defense is going to collapse on LeBron, build walls, and just dare these other guys to make shots. They're just going to say, we will take our chances with everybody else other than LeBron putting up shots. Like, we don't care who it is.
And it's you know, their splits for the month as a team, they're under 30% as a team in February.
Yep.
That is hard to do. Just, you know, that at the professional level, that is very difficult to do. Kuz is down to 30. Kuz is 33% for the month. KCP is 31% for the month. Markeith is under 30. LeBron 25. Caruso 17.6.
I know.
Talen Horton-Tucker 13.3. Montrezl Harrell 0.0. But in fairness, he doesn't actually take three pointers. I just wanted to do the voice. The three-point shooting.
It felt organic.
It did. No, completely. Completely. Mr. Harrell.
Yes. I'm
0.0. And let's not even get into what Devontae Kaycock has offered from three-point shooting. For me at least, it's hard to separate the second point of our agenda, which was the shooting is terrible, from the third point of our agenda for today's show, which is they look really tired.
Yeah.
I mean, as a team, this whole team just looks tired.
But before we get into that fatigue factor, I think Frank Vogel should consider giving Quinn Cook some minutes. And
it's an interesting question.
The reason I would do that is because he is a shooter by trade. And if nothing else, he is a shooter that isn't hesitant. Like Quinn Cook, if you put him out there, will put up shots. He knows that is what he's supposed to be doing out there. And he represents a legitimate three-point threat. Like that's what he is in the NBA to do. He's not playing much right now, but even not playing much, he's shooting at 38.5%. But also,
is he gonna be worse than the other guys? No. I mean,
Quinn Cook, obviously, there's defensive issues when you put him out there. But like we talked about before, this team isn't really hurting defensively. That's not really the problem right now. And it gets so deflating for your defense and so disheartening and discouraging when you do get stops and you cannot get shots to fall. It eventually just wears on you over the course of a game. You know, I wouldn't play Cook 30 minutes, but I would give him 10 to 15 minutes over the next few games, see if that opens some things up. And the other reason I would do it, Brian, is because like we were about to get into, this team is really tired and he is fresh.
He should be. It's funny with Quinn, like Frank Vogel.
He's played 62 minutes this season. If that dude ain't fresh, I mean.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, Frank Vogel almost always defers when in doubt to defense. I'm going to play the rotation that gives me the best possible defense. But I think the point you're making, psychologically, they need to see the ball go in the basket. They need to see, you know, to get that energy back a little bit. And if you lose, you know, try to see if you can lose 118 to 112 as opposed to 96 to 92 or 94 or whatever it was. I mean, but you're right. Like, you know what they need is like an unapologetic shooter. Like Max Strus came in the game on Saturday. He played 12 minutes. He took 8 3-pointers. He missed all of them. Like, get out there and shoot, man.
Like our boy Von Wafer.
Completely. I respected like Max Strus knows. I briefly considered picking him up on my fantasy team. He was available. Ooh, look at this guy, you know, in our league. Anybody, it's a bunch of sharks. You know, some people who actually like working in NBA for NBA teams, like it is a difficult league to find talent. And so anytime anybody shows any potential, this guy comes and he plays like one game for like 20 minutes and has a good one, like he's off the wire right away. So I see him, I'm like, okay. And I realize Max Strus literally offers you no rebounds, like he's no assists, no defensive stats, no nothing, but the man will take a three-pointer. He took eight in 12 minutes, missed all of them. Like, that takes a certain level of character that the Lakers, quite frankly, could use right now.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys on this team who have become really hesitant about putting up shots. Like, it's one of the reasons why I think Wes Matthews is starting with Schroeder and AD out beyond just whatever lineup considerations. Wes does not hesitate. Wes will put up the shots, you know, and he's been making them at a reasonable clip. You know, he had an ugly missed game winner against Miami.
Oh my God, that looked terrible.
Oof.
What the hell was that? I mean, it looked like, oh, Wes is it, like, and then like he looked, I don't know if he thought he didn't have enough time. And it was, he looked like he was like, okay, I'm going to go shoot the ball. And about three quarters of the way through whatever process he goes through, he just threw it up like it was on fire.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell was that?
But the point being, though, he will put up shots, and he's one of the few guys that has not seemed hesitant at all during this period. Like, I was encouraged at times by KCP's demeanor and body language and assertiveness against Miami. But like you said, he has been, by his own admission, I think, dealing with a little bit of confidence issues. And you can see, you know, it's funny. Marc Gasol. You know,
there was actually, the Miami game was one of his best shooting games in a while. Yes, 3 of 5 from 3-point range.
That's what I was saying. I liked what we saw from there. Marc Gasol has actually been shooting around 37 or so percent, I think, in February, last 10 games, something like that. And what's interesting about that is that he's actually, I believe, taking close to 3 3-pointers a game during that stretch, which him is like Max Strus.
It is. He's Strusian production. But I mean, he took 7 shots against Minnesota and he took 6 against Miami. How many against Brooklyn? Let's see here. It's almost, you wonder if he's getting a little bit saucy. 5. Wait. He's averaging 6 shots a game over his last 3 games, Andy. Someone slow down Marc Gasol.
But you know what, though, man? They need him to be more assertive putting the ball up, because that's going to make him a more effective playmaker, because they need that facilitating going. And as great a passer as Gasol is, he only represents so much of a threat from the high post if you know he is going to be hesitant to shoot.
Right. And so, you know, I agree with you. The psychology of seeing them score a little bit, I don't know if Quinn solves that problem. I think it's a lot to say, you know, stick Quinn Cook in there because he can, but it's worth a try.
I would give it a go.
It's worth a try.
Really give it a go, especially in a place right now where they're so shorthanded, you're not really going to be taking anybody's minutes. You're just going to be giving guys a little bit more of a breather if he's out there, and hopefully a couple extra threes.
Right. But and so, which brings us back to, brings us back to the fatigue thing. They look tired. Like, they look physically tired and mentally tired. And I get why. I mean, it's one of these deals where, you know, I think so much of the focus again on the short off season with LeBron and the short off season with Anthony Davis, but you forget other guys were run through the ringer. And, you know, this, you know, KCP played a lot of minutes last year. Just because guys are younger doesn't mean that they can't get tired. And also, too, they're right back in it, you know, mentally right back in it with very little time to decompress and then gear back up for the season. And then this season mentally has been very difficult. And, you know, there's the isolation that these guys have to be under to be make sure they stay out of the COVID protocols. Life on the road sucks. You can't go anywhere. And so I think mentally they're tired too. The whole team looks tired.
Yeah. The last 5 games, they've been averaging 15.5 turnovers per game. And that is around the worst in the league, if not the absolute worst. They even by their standards of carelessness, they've been giving
their liberal standards of carelessness.
Yes. Yes. And on one hand, that's a problem for a team that is struggling to score anyway. Like, you can't afford to give away possessions, but I think it's also indicative of the fatigue, because decision-making can be affected by being tired, like whether on the court or like in real life. When you're tired, you make shitty decisions.
Waited for my wife, now wife, to be very, very tired before I asked her to marry me, because I figured she's going to make a poor choice. And she did.
Yeah. Yes,
and here did. We are three children later. And she's like, God, I wish I'd gotten more sleep the night before he proposed.
It was a savvy move for you to propose to her while she was asleep.
Right. I woke her up. Kelly, will you marry me? Fine. I'm tired.
I had the weirdest dream that you proposed to me last night.
Check your finger.
But like LeBron too, his turnovers have gone up in February. He's averaging about 5 per game. It's in part because he's got more ball handling responsibilities, more playmaking responsibilities. But I also think his decision-making's gotten worse. Some of these turnovers for LeBron have been pretty bad. Like you look at him and you're like, that is not a LeBron pass. But he is exhausted.
For example, in the game on Saturday, because, there's no crowd and you can hear a lot of stuff. There was that moment where Bam Adebayo said, if you throw me the ball, I promise I'll throw it back to you. And LeBron did. And Adebayo didn't throw it back. Like that is that's a fatigue related turnover from LeBron. He's just not thinking it through.
He is. he's not. He must have been very tired when he was
very tired when he was just exhausted. And so you're like, Bam seems trustworthy. And he threw in the ball and he just went the other way and scored. Like that was fatigue. I made that up. That didn't happen.
Yes. You certainly did. Jesus. How tired were you when you came up with that joke?
Oh, come on. That was kind of funny.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't?
not even a little? No.
All right, well, we'll do a poll. We'll find out what people think. I thought it was funny.
Anywho.
Granted, I'm also very tired.
I was going to say, you must be tired as fuck. Always. That was funny. But like LeBron over the last 10 games, he's averaging 37.7 minutes. That would lead the league right now. Like it's a shade. If that were his season average, that's a shade over Harden and Julius Randle.
Yeah, that's not okay.
No, I mean, they need to find him some more rest, even at the cost of wins.
And I think I'll be honest with you. At this point, I would love a totally non-threatening, like 10-day injury. Like, can we find a way for somebody? I don't know exactly what triggers COVID protocols, but if there's a way to get LeBron in it without actually exposing him really to COVID.
It's like pretty simple. You just lie. Just say I was in contact with somebody who may have tested positive, or I'm not sure about. I mean,
just have somebody who's like might have been exposed to COVID, like run through LeBron's house.
No, I mean, you don't even have to.
Like, if you need some sort of proof, like something. What's the lowest risk way that we can get LeBron into the protocol about 8 days before the All-Star game, so that he can't go to Atlanta either and gets 2 weeks off, but doesn't actually get COVID? Or really have any threat of getting COVID.
You got to
so good either.
You got to time it perfectly. Like you got to make sure that the amount of games missed. Like here's what you do. You have him fake an injury that he has to rehab. And during the rehab process, the treatment process, he ended up potentially exposed, finger quotes, because this whole thing is made up, with somebody who may have been exposed themselves, contact tracing, blah, blah, blah.
No, I got he it. You order Instacart and have Dennis Schroeder deliver it to his house because Schroeder is himself just in the contact tracing protocols. I believe it was Woj who reported that Schroeder has not tested positive for COVID, but I think the transitive property here of contact tracing might, if like he came to LeBron's house, force LeBron to sit for like 10 days.
No, it's not bad. I mean,
it's not bad.
No,
and groceries.
I'm sure LeBron's a really good tipper. Schroeder can make a little extra cash. I mean, this everybody wins, but they could really. I don't care what this does to the Lakers' potential seeding. If they lose every game between now and the All-Star break, I don't care. Like if they end up a 4 seed, if they end up a 5 seed, I honestly don't give a shit. I don't think it matters at all. Like, I don't think you can come up with a reason where it would even matter. Even if teams around the league, some of them have fans. The Lakers don't at Staples Center because my expectation is Staples will not be open by then to fans. It doesn't matter.
Nope.
Like, it really does not.
Well, it doesn't matter more than this. It's like, yeah, I mean, if you're Utah or Denver or some of these teams that have a natural home court advantage because of the altitude of the building and things like that, Portland, you know,
maybe the altitude, not the building. I don't think the building matters. There's half the fans in there are going to be rooting for the Lakers anyway.
In the playoffs, maybe though, it's a little bit different. But I'm just saying, like, you know, even in these places, if you are giving Utah an advantage, Denver an advantage, Portland an advantage, whatever it might be, it's still not more important than LeBron at the maximum amount of energy that it can have, and all the other guys with the, I mean, this is the silver lining to the Anthony Davis injury, is that he's going to need to round back into shape and all that, but he needed the rest. Like, you know, this will help him in the long term. It's a lot like, you know, we talked about with Clayton Kershaw, you know, the short season last year, was it a couple years ago where he had to miss games because he, you know, with the back or whatever it was.
And to be more specific.
Yeah. But like, sometimes it's a blessing in disguise. And for a team like the Lakers, like you say, where it doesn't really matter where they finish, again, you know, oh my arm, you know, something to get LeBron on the lineup Atlanta.
I really would love to. It won't happen because LeBron takes this stuff very seriously. He wouldn't be the type of person who would fake a positive, or not a positive COVID test, but you know, he's not somebody that, I'm not even, that would be dangerous territory. I don't think you should go that far.
Don't do that. No, my cockamamie scheme, Andy, does not involve a fake COVID diagnosis.
That is a bridge too far. But yeah,
even for us.
You know, ultimately, he's not going to participate in something like that. He's going to shoulder the load. He's going to take on that responsibility. I just really wish he wouldn't.
Yeah,
and I really wish that Vogel would jimmy the rotation so he doesn't, and just whatever happens.
You can't play him 37 minutes a night between now and the All-Star game. Can't. No. You just can't. Lose games, guys. You can't do it. Because the 33 minutes right now for LeBron, 30 to 35 minutes. The amount of work he's doing in those is light years ahead of what he was doing at the beginning of the year over 30 to 35 minutes. It's not comparable. It's not just the number of minutes. It's the quality of them. It's the difficulty of them. And they are way harder now than they were before. So that's something the Lakers are going to have to address. Something, Andy, you might want to address: sneakers. I want to talk a moment here about our newest sponsor, eBay. Whether you're rare dead stock or the latest release, you can find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go cop the pair you've been eyeing. And with eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators, a team of experienced sneaker authenticators. They verify the box, the logo, the stitching, dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity, and it protects the seller with a verified return process. And for sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers more than $100, making it free to sell or flip your collection. So go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. eBay. ebay.com/sneakers. Speaking of trading stuff, Andy, selling things, buying things.
Excellent seg.
Not bad.
No, that is good.
Yeah. Probably better than that joke I made earlier.
Far better.
About Bam Adebayo.
Far better.
It was a little daddish.
I thought we had agreed not to speak of that. Right? I thought we had decided like that was
you know what, in fairness,
that was our Voldemort.
We never said it. I think you could reasonably say it was implied.
Oh, yeah. I did my best to. I worked to imply very hard.
Someone laughed. Someone.
Yeah,
listening
it was you.
To the show laughed.
You laughed. That good was joke. It.
All right. So it was a big week for the trade and buyout market. Rumors of a trade that involved PJ Tucker. Rumors of a buyout. Not even really. It's been reported that Boogie Cousins is going to be released by the Houston Rockets. So both these things coming out of Houston. Do you want to start with PJ Tucker, or do you want to start with Boogie Cousins? Because one is the trade thing, and the Lakers are supposedly interested in trading for PJ Tucker. And one is once Boogie is a street free agent, the Lakers reportedly interested in signing Boogie. Where do you want to go first?
Let's start with PJ Tucker, because I think that is the quicker discussion. because okay. I think there's ultimately less to say about it in terms of the Lakers could obviously use PJ Tucker. The Lakers would love to have him if they could. I don't see how they actually make that happen because according to the reporting that is coming from Woj, the Rockets want a player back that they can plug into their lineup. They're not looking for picks. And let's just assume for the sake of argument, the Lakers actually had picks that they could trade. Wouldn't work here. They want players. I don't know who the Lakers would give up that the Rockets would want because Kuzma or THT are their only two young players that matter. And I would not give up either one of them for PJ Tucker. And I would be stunned if the Lakers would.
Well, also too, to make the math work for something built around THT, you have to put in like four more players or sure. three more players. And now you've traded like half your team well, just to bring in. So even if you were willing to do it, the mechanics of that make it very difficult. And then I agree with you. There is a part of me that would be slightly tempted to at least think about Kuz. Maybe if you could get, you know, you Kuz and you bring back one or two or of those young players that Houston has, you know, some of these guys that have played pretty well for them this year that could inject a little bit of youth into.
Give an example.
Like Jae'Sean Tate, for example. Okay. So one of those types of guys.
Okay.
Someone like that, maybe you could construct something. But the way Kuz has played, I just don't. Tucker is an improvement defensively on the wing over Kuz, but Tucker's also only shooting about 33% from 3-point range. Granted, he has not been in a good mood all year. So I think a change of scenery would do him well.
Would you be?
No. I would not.
If I were him.
I mean, what's gone well over there? Started off with James Harden in a strip club, and now they're like 8 games under .500. I don't know exactly why I'd be smiling, but.
And he didn't get his extension.
Right. So other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, I wouldn't trade Kyle Kuzma for him.
No.
I don't see how you can construct a deal where the Lakers don't get really old really fast for a guy who may not give them nearly enough to make up for the long-term stuff.
I don't think it makes him any better. I think
it makes him better on the wing defensively.
But not that much. The way Kuzma's been playing, not that much better.
I mean, Tucker's. I think it was. I know I saw this on Silver Screen Roll. I don't think they put it together, but maybe they did. But like Tucker's defensive metrics, when you break down like the synergy stats and all that, are really good.
Sure,
like,
that's
off
fine.
Of pick and roll and one on one and all that stuff. They're better than Kuzma's.
They might be better than Kuzma, but I've watched every game this year. Kuzma has been good defensively.
Yes.
And in the meantime, he is way, way more productive offensively. So on balance, I think they actually at best come out sideways. At worst, actually get worse.
And at a place where now Kuzma looks like a guy who could be a really nice bargain
I would have made if I were the Lakers last year.
Yes.
I would have made this deal last year, but not this year for Kuzma. And then with THT, that's too much talent and potential to give up for PJ Tucker, who you're not going to extend him on this team.
No.
So you're renting. I am not giving up THT.
Would be a great spokesperson for this eBay thing that we're working on right now.
That is true. But
I think he is one of their guys, but that's okay.
I was going to say, I imagine he's got that covered or can get it covered pretty easily.
I mean, I meant that literally.
No, I know that.
Mechanically, trying to figure out how to get PJ Tucker, as nice as it would be. I saw somebody put together a deal, one of these, bloggers, as a friend of ours used to say in the locker room, that was built around Markieff Morris and a couple other things. And it was one of those why the Lakers would say yes. Well, because they get PJ Tucker for Markieff Morris. Why the Rockets would say yes required significantly more massaging. There's no offer that they can put together that doesn't include THT or Kuzma that the Rockets would take.
Yeah. I mean, unless every other offer around the league was that bad, no, it's not going to happen. So,
all right. So let's move on to Boogie then, because DeMarcus Cousins is going to be released by Houston. There are teams around the league who could certainly use a big. DeMarcus Cousins got a ring with the Lakers last year. He was very popular with, you know, in that locker room. Didn't play, obviously, because of the knee injury. But like, that is, you know, just the all of that means that he's going to be linked to here. Kevin O'Connor, the Ringer, reporting the Lakers will be interested in bringing him back. So if PJ Tucker doesn't make sense, Andy, does DeMarcus Cousins make sense for the Lakers?
Not really. I don't think so. I don't. First of all, I don't know where he's going to play, because
you're kind of a rumor mill wet blanket here.
Well, I'm just,
people love this stuff.
Well, I did say PJ Tucker to the Laker makes a hell of a lot of sense. I just don't think they can do it. But I said that absolutely makes sense.
How about Rob Pelinka gives him one of these? Why don't you give us PJ Tucker, like Obi-Wan Kenobi? Good work.
Could.
It's the only way it's going to happen.
I was going to say it has to work. The reason I think it wouldn't work is because big picture, and I'll explain why the big picture matters. I don't know where DeMarcus Cousins is going to play, because he's not going to start ahead of Marc Gasol. He's not going to take minutes from Trez. He can't really play with either one of them.
You would think defensively it would be difficult.
Oh my God. Defensively, you want to talk about a fucking train wreck? That would be just horrific. So, you know, for the time being, he can't play with Anthony Davis. So the best guy to pair him with is probably Markieff Morris, who is the least productive of the Laker four fives or small ball fives that they have. So putting Cousins on the floor might necessitate extra minutes for Keith, which I'm not sure you'd want anyway. Like, it's very similar to why, remember when there was talk about possibly bringing DeMarcus Cousins to the bubble? There was uncertainty about Dwight Howard playing and Avery Bradley had opted out. My same thought was, where are you going to play him?
Right.
And the reason I think this actually matters, I mean, first of all, before I get into why it matters, big picture, do you disagree with that?
No, not at all. I think it's not hard to think of scenarios where like DeMarcus's skill set could be useful. I'll get to some of my reservations in a second, because, you know, I'll just do it right now. I mean, the secret, you know, DeMarcus hasn't played that well.
No,
he's had a couple really good high visibility games, but he's shooting 37% from the floor, not from 3-point range, from the field. 33 and a half from 3-point range, nine and a half points a game. It's not like you're picking up a guy who has been really effective this year and only playing 20 minutes a night.
Brian, really quickly break down that 37% that you were talking about.
Please.
0 to 3 feet this season, DeMarcus is shooting 47.6%, which is a career low by 10%.
But by the way, if you aren't 5'3", you need to be shooting better than that from 0 to 3 feet, because that includes dunks.
Yes, it is really, really bad for a player of his size.
That is frighteningly low.
3 to 10 feet, 33.3%, which is among his career lowest. 10 to 16 feet, 50%, which is awesome, except he only takes 10% of his shots from there. 16 feet to the three-point line, 0.0. And then from three...
Oh, you could have done the voice.
He's shooting 33.6, which is like fine. 33.5%.
It's not... It's fine. Right, but that's... It's... If he were more productive, you could look at it and say, really the thing that he brings, and I was talking about this, you know, this was something that was kicked around over the weekend, and I got in a couple little conversations about it. Like, in theory, what he could do is help them kind of grease the wheels as a passer. That would be his most valuable offensive skill for this team, is somebody who in theory has enough respect from an opposing defense that you have to guard him, and then you can move around him and use him as a pivot point. But the problem is, he's so bad defensively right now. Like, Cranjus McBasketball, who we like to reference all the time because the work is so good, he broke down some of where Cousins is around the league among centers in a bunch of defensive metrics. And it's like the 20th percentile, the 18th percent, like no matter where you look, Cousins is at the bottom of all of these things. So defensively, for all, you know, if you're a Laker fan and you're looking for rim protection or someone to beef up the defense, and again, the defense has been quite good. It's the best in the league. Like, DeMarcus Cousins does not solve your problem. And meanwhile, Marc Gasol, who is much better defensively, is also a pivot point on offense and an excellent passer. There's so much redundancy there, and Gasol's the better player right now. And I just, you're right. I don't know where you play him. Long answer to a reasonable question.
But then here's the other reason. When I was saying I don't know where you play him big picture, you know, especially once Anthony Davis is back, I have concerns with Cousins and chemistry, depending on his role. And I realize he was on the team last year and everything worked out great and he was extremely popular. But I also think the context matters. He had no expectations last season of when he would play, much less if he would play once he had that injury. And it was fine for him just to be a happy guy in the locker room while rehabbing. It is potentially much different when he wants to be playing to keep his career alive. And I don't blame him. Like, he is really trying to keep his career going. He's had awful luck with his health, but there's no role for him on this team at full strength. And I could be wrong. I could be selling him short, and that sucks if I'm doing it. I don't picture him being just a happy culture guy in that role. Like, especially on a team that can't bond in the same way that they did pre-pandemic last season. Like, I wouldn't. And just so people understand, this is not me talking about DeMarcus Cousins with character concerns. I would not blame him if he were unhappy in that role, because I don't know what it does for him. Like,
right. I think he wants to be, you want to be in a position, if you're him,
right,
to go somewhere where we can actually play.
Right. I mean, assuming he has other options, and, you know, like Kevin O'Connor said, he may not have that many, but if I have any other options, if I'm Boogie, I take one of those ahead of the Lakers. Like, yeah. I don't think there's a particularly good setup for him or the Lakers.
Yeah, where he lands, I think, is probably much more, instead of one of the giant contenders. People talk about Brooklyn a lot because they need bigs. But again, you know, we had a joke the other day on the late night happy hour, where I think it was when we had Alex Kennedy on, where, like, instead of them trying to find, the Nets trying to find defensive players who can help with it, just lean into it and find the most offensive centers you can find that can't play defense. Like, you're almost getting to DeMarcus Cousins here. Like,
no, you're,
except
no.
You don't actually get the offense.
That's anymore. What I was going to say. No, you don't, because he doesn't fill the other side.
But, like, the, conceptually, that's what you get. Like, if you have a vision of a fully realized DeMarcus Cousins, that's essentially what you'd be getting. I think he's much more likely to land on one of these more fringe playoff teams where he'll get a chance to play, and it's a lottery ticket for those guys that if he can capture it a little bit, he can help them enough offensively to make up for the defensive shortcomings, or maybe you have more guys on the wing who can protect, whatever it might be. Then I think there's not a good chance he ends up on one of the elite teams because he's not playing well enough to earn that kind of spot. So far, Andy, I don't expect any of this to shake up the Lakers. They need, if you could pick one thing, not necessarily one player, but one thing that they would go get, what would it be?
A time machine so they can move forward to the All-Star break and get some rest. I mean, I'm being dead serious. They need rest.
Those aren't available on the buyout market.
They need rest right now more than they need help. they just need to be able to sit their asses down.
You say they must be looking at the Spurs right now with so much jealousy. Like, the Spurs are doing that thing that Memphis had to do earlier in the year where they just ran out of guys because of contact tracing. Spurs haven't played like 12 days.
Yeah.
Lucky sons of bitches.
Well, no, I'm sure they were pissed when it turned out Schroeder hadn't been around enough of them. like after getting put in the protocol,
everybody's running into the, like, Adam Silver's going off. No. I gave a gigantic hug to Dennis on his way out of the building the other day. I mean, seriously. Like, I high five that man more than anybody else on the team.
We do breathing exercises together. Like, they must have been so mad that he wasn't around before he ended up landing himself in the protocol.
I picture a team meeting where Vogel brings everyone at, guys, please stop telling everyone that Dennis breathed on you. We all know that, like, I understand why, but it makes the organization look like we're not taking this seriously.
That is ultimately what they need more than any other, more than any other guy that would be available as quote unquote help between now and the All-Star break.
I'm just thinking generally, like toward the end of the year. But your point is well taken. At this point, you know, they could use a defensive wing down in the play. They're not necessarily going to find super impactful players.
This isn't the team. The team is full strength with Anthony Davis, with Dennis Schroeder. We've already seen that team's really good.
Yep.
It could use some more rest, but ultimately they're really, really good.
Yep.
And I think they're going to continue being really good, assuming everybody comes back healthy.
All right. So I do, before we go, you and I have been a little mocking of James Harden over different points of the season. Maybe not as much as PJ Tucker, but we've had harsh words. I do want to shout out James Harden. We try to be fair around here. 3,000 meals he reportedly gave out from his new restaurant in Houston to people. Obviously, we all know what's going on in Texas with the the problems with their water and obviously with power and stuff like that. So credit to Harden giving out a ton of food and a ton of water and supplies to people from that restaurant of his. So I just, we do want to be equitable.
No,
on the Land of Lakers pocket. It's a really cool thing to do. So
that's awesome. And he has said many, many times, the problem wasn't you, Houston, the city. The problem was you, Houston, the franchise. And whether you think he's being fair to the Rockets or not, beside the point, he has always been, to the best of my understanding, really involved in the Houston.
Well, he gave a lot of money away after Katrina. He did he's done a lot. I forget which hurricane it might have been, but I apologize. I don't mean to make light of it. I don't remember which is the one. But he's been very generous in that community. Yeah. I also think it is, anger at the Rockets organization is the one thing that I think he and PJ Tucker can agree on.
That is true.
So, in that sense, all right. Thanks again to our friends at betonline.ag. A reminder, you can go get some fantastic pizza, delicious pizza, two locations, West Adams and on Sunset up in Hollywood. And check out that happy hour. Go outside, eat with the family, let them run around, eat some pizza. Cam Brothers, 20% off when you use our code for delivery or pickup. And eBay, it's where you go get your sneakers. We will be back, I think, midweek. After the Utah game, but certainly, if nothing else, next week in our normal time. And we will see everybody next time. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.